Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
High atop the San Francisco skyline, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome back to the Damon Bruce Show, and it's great to have Jared Bell from USA Today stop on by to talk about everything that happened in the NFL this week and everything that's coming up on the actual NFL field this weekend. Jared, thanks very much. How are you?
Pretty good, Damon. You're right. There's been a whole lot of stuff going on in the NFL on so many different levels.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start?
Well, I meant to, if we did it chronologically, I guess we'd start with the stadium, but we got to start with Chip Kelly because that story, I think, has almost trumped the Rams returning to L.A. It's the number one trending topic in the world yesterday. And look, Chip Kelly's a polarizing guy who is now getting a second chance with the 49ers. Do you think his second chance has a good chance to work, or does this have down in flames written all over it?
I'd give it a chance to work. You know, obviously Chip Kelly is still an innovative football coach, a brilliant football coach who can coach some offense. And so I'm excited to see now what do you do, Chip, in another situation. And, you know, so there's that prospect. But the other thing, too, is that he's going in with a different structure. Now, the first reaction of mine when I heard that he was interested in the 49ers was kind of like, well, hey, if they couldn't deal with Jim Harbaugh, why do they want Chip Kelly in there? But Kelly has kind of put the word out during this whole process that he doesn't want personnel control. And so that's a big question because, frankly, that's probably what happened to really, spell the end for his tenure in Philadelphia. I mean, of course, we know it is because of the moves that he made.
Jared Bell from USA Today here on the Damon Bruce Show. From what you know about him, is he self-aware? Can he take the failures in Philadelphia, learn from them quickly? And maybe the real $64,000 question is, can he keep his nose out of front office business affairs?
Well, you know, the coaching staff in the front office, they have to kind of work together. And sometimes it really doesn't matter who has the final say as long as they're on the same page in terms of what they are looking for. So he and Trent Baalke obviously have had some sort of agreement as they had their meetings of the mind in terms of how they will operate. So I'm going to assume, hey, that can work. And assuming that, you put him in charge of the team and in charge of designing an offense, it's something to be very excited about if you're a 49er fan. Now, can he learn from the mistakes in Philadelphia? And I think the ones that we really are talking about are the ones when it came down to how he related to people. And I don't know if you change who you are, but you have to become more aware of how you impact other people and kind of how that plays off. I mean, there was a steep learning curve for Chip Kelly going from the college level to the pro level just as a coach, right? Because when you got players on the college level who want to get to the pro level, I mean, they are so beholden to the coaches that they will run through walls and do whatever, however, whenever, okay? That's the college athlete so dependent on the coaches to try to get that big opportunity that so many of them are looking for. On the pro level, you've got guys who are established, guys who have money, guys who have families and all sorts of different circumstances, but most of all, they have some talent. Otherwise, they would not be there. Now, they're different degrees, obviously, but you have to be able to get the most out of your players, and it's not like it is in college, my way or the highway. So hopefully, he'll have learned that. Hopefully for the 49ers fans and for Chip Kelly and the chance he may have to have success, because you still have to get the best out of people. So whatever lessons that he learned in Philadelphia in terms of how he deals with some of his players, I think is going to be a key to whether or not he's successful. And let me just say, I know it's a long-winded answer, but let me just say this, because there was so much talk about whether he was racist or not and how you try to make sense of the things that some of the players said. And I've always said it really, at a certain level with him and the problems he had in Philadelphia, it may not have been something that you could put your finger on and say that he was a racist or not, but I think you can agree that there was a perception problem.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the big problem. It's like, you may not be this, but if people think you are, or they think that that has something to do with it, then that's more of the issue. And I think that was the way I kind of looked at it all along, because I didn't know enough of the real details to say that he is this or that, because, I mean, frankly, he's a football coach, so he's dealing with a lot of players from a lot of different backgrounds and a lot of different cultures. So it will be interesting to see how he relates to his players and the other people in the building, too.
Jared Bell, USA Today, and I think that is a big question that hopefully does not follow him from Philadelphia. Are you culturally tone deaf, and might that deafness divide your locker room? I think it was in play in Philadelphia, and much more lighthearted. You know, another thing that I didn't think plays well in Philly is the notion of smoothies and monitoring nutrition. Like, that is the land of cheesesteaks and bitter anger. And I really think a lot of Chip Kelly sitting on this edge of innovation, whether that's fair or not to say he still does that as a coach. But I think it plays better closer to Silicon Valley than it does Broad Street.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I'm going to tell you, I actually did a story about that last summer in training camp that, and a lot of people wrote about it his first year and first couple of years there. But I will say this, the guys that I talked to on the team, they really seemed to buy into that aspect of what Chip Kelly brought to the Eagles. And, you know, some guys changed their diet, their sleeping habits, and then more importantly, kind of how they approached rehab and some of the methods that he had. So, and you look at Ryan Matthews, and for about half the season last year, remember all the injury problems he had in San Diego, he was going pretty good there for a while until it got to November. And that was one of the guys I talked to for the story. And he was so excited about what he could kind of gain from that part of the, you know, the Chip Kelly program. But yeah, you're right. It's a little different thing. Anytime you come in and you're trying to change the way people have done things, people are going to be skeptical. But I think if you looked at the Eagles pretty much before this year, but definitely in his first 2 years, they had the fewest injuries in the NFL. And a lot of people will say, hey, that's proof of something working.
Colin Kaepernick, do you think it's a given that he comes back to work at least a season with Kelly? They seem to be the read option fantasy match made in heaven, right?
Yeah. I think, you know, they definitely need to do that just to kind of see where you are with it and what you can do and what you can't do with Colin Kaepernick, because it wasn't too long ago that Colin Kaepernick was like, you know, the cutting edge quarterback, right? I mean, we know Cam Newton's been there for a while, and, you know, a couple others have come and gone and had their struggles like RG3, but, you know, Kaepernick is a guy like RG3, really, except for without the big injury, who was at one time the guy that he thought was going to really, you know, be the, you know, the face of the new quarterback. So Chip Kelly will definitely give it a good ride. I know that. I would think so.
Looking back at what happened with relocation in L.A. and the big bag of third place, basically nothing, that Mark Davis left that meeting in Houston with, would you like to even care to guess what's next for the Raiders?
Yeah, I get the sense that they're still going to be in Oakland and trying to make a deal in Oakland. I know there's been a lot of talk about San Antonio, given the fact that Mark Davis has flirted with San Antonio officials and visited and that sort of thing. And I guess that would still be in play. But I think when you start thinking about the NFL politics of that, that might be pretty interesting as well in terms of having two teams in Texas, one being the Cowboys, the other is Houston Texans. And that might be real interesting politically in the NFL. There's been some talk in the league that, hey, maybe they can do things to really kind of help Mark Davis, you know, facilitate a stadium deal in Northern California. You would know better than me in terms of what the political climate is there, but it just seems...
Here it is. Let me sum it up for you in one word. Sucks.
Yeah, it's been tough. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it hasn't happened yet, so... we'll see what happens.
Let's move on to the field and see what happens this weekend. Look, we could be looking at an all West Coast championship round a weekend from now if the Broncos, Chiefs, Cardinals, and Seahawks all survive. I think Carolina might crash that party, New England as well. You're going to be in Carolina covering Cam Newton. You give him a big shot over the Seahawks, or do you look at Pete Carroll and say, that's always the coach who capitalizes on a second life, and boy, the Vikings gave him one.
Yeah, Pete Carroll and the Seahawks, yeah, they definitely are living on, you know, on the edge and playing with house money and all of that. But the thing I like about the Seahawks, and I definitely give them a chance to win here in Carolina, I think that they've gotten this thing together. You know, the Panthers beat them in week 6. This is a different Seahawks team. It's a different Panthers team, too, as you go through the course of the season. But Seattle is more like Seattle that we've known them over the past couple of years in terms of, you know, getting their defense together. The one thing I don't like about what's happened with Seattle this season is how they've given up leads in the fourth quarter, you know, repeatedly. And so that's been one, and it almost happened there at the end against Minnesota if the guy doesn't miss the field goal. So, and Carolina beat them with a last-minute comeback. So they have to have the confidence in knowing, talking about the Panthers, that they can do that if presented with that situation. But the other thing with the Seahawks is that their offensive line has really, you know, really been the most impressive, the most improved unit on their team this year. What a job that Tom Cable, former Raiders coach, working at offensive line for Seattle, has done this season, because they went into the season with that being the biggest question mark, and as it has progressed, they've really done a great job of protecting Russell Wilson, and that's kind of been part of, you know, his resurgence as a pocket passer this year. So all that to say, I give them a shot, and then, oh, by the way, they also have that championship mentality, resiliency, whatever you want to call it. They have some of that in their DNA, and I think for Carolina, this is the big test. You know, if you want to be the champion, you're going to have to beat the two-time defending NFC champs.
Jarrett, always great stuff. Thank you very much for joining us. And, boy, when you're walking around the vast sea of humanity that is Media Row, find us. Come sit down and talk to us during the Super Bowl, would you please?
Okay, Damon, I'll do it.
Please do. Jarrett Bell joining us here on 95.7 The Game. By the way, speaking of vast seas of humanity walking around the Super Bowl, Gianna, have you already started to see the road closures that are going to be happening for the Super Bowl?
Yes.
They're diverting every bit of traffic off the Embarcadero around the ferry building into, like, downtown Financial District streets, which, without that happening, are already going to be a mess. With that happening, may God have mercy on all of us. And the foot traffic, they're expecting 1 million pedestrians in essentially a 10 to 12 block radius.
It's going to be bananas. It's going to be very crazy. There's all the changes just for Muni that are happening to accommodate all of that, for the cable cars, for some of the buses. I believe BART's running longer trains. They're going to be skipping certain stops as well to kind of deal with all that congestion. There's going to be changes for, like, how people exit the ferry building. It's just really going to be a lot. Yeah.
It's going to be intense.
It'll be intense. Definitely drive in. I mean, I'm sorry, definitely don't drive in. I'm like, what am I saying?
Yeah, don't drive
in. Don't drive in. Park your car somewhere along the peninsula or in the East Bay and take BART or Caltrain.
Yeah, it's going to be ridiculous. And to say that everything is going to be priced to make sure you're gouged the most, that's what the Super Bowl is all about.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl is about gouging. It really is. San Francisco and the Super Bowl are perfect for each other. They love to charge you the most amount of money possible at all times. Let's go to Greg, who is out on the road. He already wants to stump for a quarterback. How are you, Greg?
Hey, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Doing well, thank you.
That's great. Yeah, so, you know, I was just kind of thinking about it. If they happen to bring Colin Kaepernick back, and, like, I know we can't really guarantee what's going to happen overall, but I do feel like that if the Niners do end up still, you know, drafting a quarterback in the or at some point, I do think it kind of gives, at least gives me a little bit of reassurance that, you know, they can kind of learn from behind Colin Kaepernick, at least in terms of, like, moving into the pocket, but then even just simply having a better coach to, you know, coach him up for a couple of seasons or so if, you know, Kaepernick happens to be the quarterback for the season.
Right. But you always want to have that guy somewhere being groomed for the future at the most important position on the field. I mean, if the team wanted to take a look at a young quarterback with a late-round pick all the time, I would not have a problem with it. I do think that there are other needs that this team needs to address before it starts looking for a third quarterback to work into the Chip Kelly mix. They need, like, the first wide receiver to go out there and make a play. Like, they need that before they need a they need one wide receiver before they need a third quarterback. But I hear you, man. I hear you loud and clear. And if you're not saving your food for the future, you're going to starve eventually.
Exactly. And that's why after a bit, it's just, you know, because obviously if Chip Kelly really wants to have Kaepernick in the picture, then sure. I mean, just hoping that everything works out well from there. But it's like, you can't really guarantee that he's going to pan out the whole entire time, especially during the injury that he's recovering from. So you want to make sure that he still has some sort of package plan that put them in a better position, that even if it takes some time to groom the quarterback, at least they still have someone that will be a lot more bona fide than only having Gabbard from behind the whole entire time.
Right. And look, and we're looking for bona fides. There's no doubt about it. Greg, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Joe on 880. What's up, Joe?
Hi, Damon. Great show.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. You know, it's all about chemistry, and you actually mentioned that about you and Gianna a couple weeks ago. It's really going to come down to if Kelly and Kaepernick can form chemistry like Harbaugh and Kaepernick had, and I really think that Kaepernick can resume that type of player that he is if they can pull that out. If Chip can pull that out of him, I think he's going to recover, and I think he's going to carry the Niners where they all need to go.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You can't want to take all the credit. You got to be a person who shares the credit, not just wants to hand off all the blame. And I really think what we saw was a demonstration of guys not being able to handle success. And that was the most disappointing thing with the whole Harbaugh disintegration of that relationship between he and Balky and York. Like, things were going great, guys. The fact that you couldn't put together your petty differences and keep the great gravy train kind of flowing is still something I'm going to always have a lot of trouble understanding. But, you know, will things go bad? Will things go south? Will battle lines be drawn the minute something wrong happens in the Chip Kelly era? That's a big question.
It is a big question. Well, hopefully we get to see what Kaepernick's capable of. He needs to come back. We put the whole team on his shoulders 4 years ago, and I think we need to do it again. Thank you, Damon.
Thank you very much, Joe. Appreciate the call. Tony from Oakland. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Damon. That was a nice interview with Jared Bell. Thank you.
Thank you. He's great.
Yeah, I want to hear more of him. Now, I've been puzzling over something, and maybe you can help shed some light on this for me. Why didn't Chip Kelly and Tennessee work, or what do you know about that? Because to me, the marriage made in heaven, like you were mentioning with Jared Bell, to me it should have been Kelly and Mariota. It's Kelly that went out to find Mariota, and then Kelly had to leave Oregon because of some trouble that was happening. But what happened with Tennessee? Why didn't Chip Kelly go there? I have some ideas, but I want to hear what you think.
It's a good question, because I really thought that that was going to be an easy, you know, a couple of easy dance partners to arrange, at least from an interview standpoint. Like, he never even got a sniff. Now, Tennessee is a place that I think is, you know, operating a coaching staff on a budget that maybe eliminates the top names on the line. But Kelly only signed for $6 million, which is funny. That's a number they wouldn't give Harbaugh a few years ago, but whatever. But he signs for $6 million. You'd think you got to be willing to go to $6 million to hire a good NFL coach. Maybe that's a number Tennessee isn't willing to meet. I can't explain it. And maybe the theory is, look, the two of these guys were at their best together collegiately. This isn't college anymore. And, you know, we want to move in a different direction. I don't know. I was surprised that they didn't at least talk, though. Look at it this way.
Well, you know,
who else did Kelly talk to? Outside of the Niners, who else did he talk to?
Well, that's exactly where I was going, because I think Kelly in his mind probably didn't have a lot of options, and San Francisco was courting him. But then at the same time, Kelly likes the project. Kaepernick is a project. If he can fix Kaepernick, I think he can fix anything.
Oh, come on, man. If he can fix this Colin Kaepernick thing to the point where nobody's questioning whether or not he's the quarterback for the 49ers anymore, it'll be one of the all-time coaching jobs and turnaround of you know, what people perceive you to be in a long time. It'd be amazing if that happened. And I think that is the amazing that the Niners made the hire hoping for. He is someone that the best football coaches in America call to talk football with. You think Nick Saban is interested in wasting his time? You think Nick Saban sits around worried about who he can pretend knows football? Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, Urban Meyer call Chip Kelly when they want to kick the ball around and talk innovative offense. Other coaches still believe in Chip Kelly. Other coaches think this guy is the real deal. It didn't work in Philly. After it was working for Philly, his greed or control of the situation kind of took the headlines and ran in the wrong direction. When you get rid of popular players who, for a lot of reasons, have sour grapes and don't drop those sour grapes up, but continue to talk about what you did wrong while the NFL's proving that the decisions you made were wrong with the losses that you're now accumulating, the pressure turns up. Philadelphia starts calling you an idiot, a moron, and you don't know anything about football. If you think Chip Kelly comes here devoid of football information, like maybe he's not the easiest guy in the world to get along with, not the smoothest guy, whatever. He knows so much more about football than Jim Tom Sula ever will. Not football like Tom Sula. How do I say this without being disrespectful? To coach defensive line, you're coaching technique and you're coaching nuance around technique that you build for the player's skill set, but there aren't a lot of differences. It's easy to coach the same 12 to 15 things over and over and over again. There's 12 to 15 things happening on every single play that are brand new on every play that you're running for a coach to really wrap his mind around when you're an offensive coordinator. You know, Tom Sula worked on swim techniques, spin techniques, and that was it. You're swimming or you're spinning or you're stunting. Like, that's it. That's it. I'm along the defensive line. You're either a physical specimen that just pushes people around. You swim. You stunt. You can do the rip thing where you do the rip and you bring your arm up and you knock the guy's elbow out. Like, there's only like six things that you can really do to coach a defensive lineman to get around his blocker. There are 400 things a quarterback needs to process before he even backs away from the center or says hike. If you think that Chip Kelly is behind the times when it comes to Jim Tom Sula, you're nuts. Hold on. Let's say, hold on. Turn that down. I'm going to take one call here. We're going to go a little long here. Then we're going to come back to the tweets. Well, tell James we'll get to him in just a second. Let's go to Zach in the city real fast before we start our To the Tweet segment, which hopefully you've already crafted a very clever or interesting question and sent it to me using the hashtag To the Tweets. We're going to start that in just a little bit. Zach in the city, what do you got, Zach?
Hey, Damon, I just want to start off by thanking you and Gianna for, easing my 3 to 7 p.m. hour every day.
Happy to do it for you, man. Thank you.
awesome. And, you know, Damon, I hear your valid points on the Chip Kelly hire, but, man, I can't stop grinding my brain on this, Damon. I just do not see it working for a couple of reasons. From what I've seen of Chip Kelly, I understand he's a football mind. You know, he's definitely a football whiz, which is, you know, I want to say it's going to be good, but the fact is he's coming into no talent, and he's just been known to push out talent. He came to Philadelphia with talent, you know, with a decent squad, did pretty well with the talent, and seemed to kind of push certain individuals out of that realm. And then what happened? He, you know, had a bad season. He didn't take accountability for it. So in that reason, you know, he's kind of just like Jed York and Trent Baalke. They're bad eggs that won't take accountability for their mistakes.
You know, I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, the only reason why it ended in Philadelphia is because it ended badly, and it ended badly over personality issues and decisions that were made that probably shouldn't have been made. And then when it comes time for you to meet the Philadelphia media and face the firing squad, you're still passing the buck? That's why Lurie lost his mind and fired him over lunch. If that's the guy who's showing up, could be a long run, no doubt. If the I've learned from those mistakes and I'm going to do an awful lot different in my new situation guy shows up, boy, maybe you got a real innovator and someone to invest in to see if you can't turn this thing around with what you got and improve upon it quickly. Jim, Redwood City, then we take a break. Jim, what do you got?
Jim, just a question, theoretical. Do you see maybe Jim Harbaugh and Chip Kelly having a conversation in the offseason? Maybe Jim calls Chip, maybe Chip calls Jim, and they talk about Colin Kaepernick. Would you see that scenario in the offseason?
Yes. I would. I mean, I think Jim Harbaugh's got a right to be bitter towards the 49ers, but that bitterness doesn't extend to Colin Kaepernick, improving him, or talking to other coaches. And Harbaugh's always been a smart enough guy to have other smart coaches around him. I think he would take that phone call and talk with Kelly about Kaepernick. Yes, no doubt. When we come on back, maybe we'll squeeze in a call or two that's on hold. We don't want to leave anybody stuck behind the To the Tweet segment, but that's where we're heading. That is where we're heading, to the tweets. So get ready, at Damon Bruce me, hashtag To the Tweets. It's always fun, but you got to participate to make the fun officially go down and happen in a memorable, fun way on a Friday afternoon. All right, enjoy your James Brown, and we're back right after this, taking it to the tweets.
Baby, 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 I got the feeling, baby.
On 95.7 The Game. We're back with the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, so from now on, the questions that we're going to be reading are going to be coming off of Twitter. We're about to take it to the tweets. Our final moment from the text line today comes from Rafalski in San Jose. Says, D. Bruce, 2 years in a row, the Santa Clara Niners filled their head coaching vacancy with a candidate that didn't have any other interviews. What are your thoughts about that? If indeed there was no other interest in Chip Kelly, it's because he had scared other interested parties away. The reason Tom Sula didn't get interviewed was because no one had ever heard of him. There's a big difference in, we know all about him and that flavor's not for us. We're going to back away from what we think you're about, or the, like, you're not even qualified to get the interview. There's a big difference in scared to do business and wouldn't want to do business. And I'm not making excuses. I just think that there's a huge difference between the one interview Chip Kelly got and the one interview that Jim Tom Sula received from the 49ers. Remember, 3 years ago, Chip Kelly was the number one name, hottest commodity in coaching, as big, if not bigger, than Harbaugh.
And Tom Sula wasn't on anybody's radar.
Still isn't.
Yeah.
Still will never be again. Wasn't.
Never was.
Never. Not. No. Nothing. Shouldn't have been. Eric in Oakland, and then we're going to take it to the tweets. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Always impressed me. You guys have the best show on the station. I really appreciate you guys taking my call.
Thank you.
You know, everybody's complaining about Chip Kelly from what I hear, and I tend to look at, you know, the glass is half full, you know, or half empty, however you want to look at it. But here's the thing. People are talking about him disassembling the team in Philly and trading for his Oregon guys or whatever. But guess what? This team in San Francisco, I'm sorry, in Santa Clara, has nothing. They lost a lot of talent last year. They're going to lose more players this year that are getting older. Guess what? He has nothing to disassemble. So forget about the whole thing. In fact, if anything, he's going to have to build a team with the players that he wants, that he sees fit for his system. So I think we have an advantage, you know, compared to when he went to Philadelphia from that
standpoint. And look, when he had players that fit his system, which he basically had when he got to Philadelphia, things worked well. The concerning thing is that the players that he brought in that he thought would fit his system better were much worse in his system than the guys he just traded out to improve. And so maybe this does work. Maybe Balky has a good draft and signs the right free agents, and Chip Kelly doesn't think that the guys that he thought would fit his system are you know. It's so weird. It's so weird how he looked at LeSean McCoy and thought, I'll be better off with DeMarco Murray. It's just weird that he's the one that made that. Look, trading away your jackass diva receiver is something that a lot of head coaches have done historically throughout football. It's happened. A running back, though, making decisions at linebacker, it was weird. Like, maybe Chip thought he was too smart, too cute. Read too many of his own articles. I don't know.
Damon, I apologize if you already said this, but remember, DeMarco Murray wasn't his guy. Frank Gore was the one he wanted to replace LeSean McCoy, and Gore was supposed to go to Philly, then backed out and went to Indy.
Right. I got to be honest with you. I don't think Frank Gore would have been that much better in that
offense.
You're
probably right.
Frank Gore had a very pedestrian, even more than I expected, season with a struggling Colts team that had, obviously, quarterback issues all season long, but... Yeah, it just didn't. I mean, it didn't work out, and it seemed like as soon as he said, "Wait, I should be in charge of the whole project fell apart. So have him just call the game, and hopefully Trent Baalke can get this project back on track. And without any further ado, it's time.
Not everyone has time to make a phone call, but everyone has time to tweet. Tweet at Damon Bruce right now. It's Taking It to the Tweets. Tweets. Now, here's Damon.
We'll start with William Bracco, who says, D. Bruce, what would you rather do? Interview Mark Davis eating Mongolian beef at P.F. Chang's or interview Jed York eating Wagyu beef at Bourbon Steak? All right, well, the Niners win on all accords here. I'm sorry, because Wagyu beef is better than Mongolian beef. Even though I like Mongolian beef, I'm not one of those "screw you, Mongolian" type of guy.
No.
I like Mongolian beef.
But when given the option.
Mongolian beef, Wagyu beef, two totally different neighborhoods. One's Beverly Hills. The other is just a neighborhood. P.F. Chang's or Bourbon Steak? Like, P.F. Chang's is a freaking chain restaurant. I don't mind it. But Bourbon Steak is a little nicer for sure. And would you rather have Davis or York? How about this? I'd be really interested to talking to either one of those guys for much different reasons. But if you had to ask me if it's only one, I'm going with Jed York because I know there is the slightest possibility he could actually pay for the check. unless Mark's got a Groupon with him.
It might not happen.
I feel like I'm going into my pocket for dinner. Let's see. Damon, is it just me, or is the overall quality of play in the NFL down this last regular season? Yeah, it is. I mean, I thought it was too, and I think that there are reasons why. A lack of patience, which the Niners demonstrated, which the Eagles demonstrated, and guys looking to grab more money and go into another situation as players, football is such a complicated game. 11 guys all having to execute very well for anything to work out very well, that without cohesion, without continuity, it's a really, really tough thing to come back and do well over and over and over again unless you get all those reps. So, yeah, I mean, I thought play across the board was down in football.
But don't you think a lot of that had to do with the fact that there were about 15 top-level quarterbacks that went down?
Yes, that absolutely has something to do with it, but maybe that doesn't happen with offensive line play not declining.
Probably true.
You know, it's one of, you know, how's it all connected? The cart, the horse, what comes first, that sort of thing. That's my point, though. I guess that maybe my inability to answer your question well is the right answer to the question. Guys probably get hurt because they're not used to playing with each other. And, you know, my tackle and my center don't share the same brain yet, which means my quarterback got injured on that missed block by the guard.
Right.
Teams used to, you know, play together for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. Now you're lucky if you get a nucleus to stay together for three or four seasons. You're really lucky if that happens. From Brian the English, he says, D. Bruce, I hear you got your passport. When am I taking you for a beer in jolly old London town? Oh, I hope he didn't hear my terrible London accent earlier. I tell you what, when I'm there, you will know, Brian the English. Thank you very, very much. Let's see. Greg Johnson. Damon, do you think that the Bay Area's interest in college football is waxing or waning? Why is it so weak in the first place? Well, it's weak for several reasons. The transient nature of California is one of them. Also, all that there is to do here, you got lots of options.
Right.
That definitely comes into play, and it's a factor. Is it waxing or what? Here's the thing. As long as the football conversation, the college football conversation in the Bay Area is a Stanford conversation, it will always be waning. People who went to Stanford and root to Stanford still don't get too excited for Stanford. If the run of the last 5, 6, 7 years that Stanford is on was being enjoyed in Berkeley, it would feel a whole lot different. I really believe that if Cal had Stanford success, the way we talked, covered, and focused on college football would change. Not dramatically, but it'd be a lot different. If Cal had just gone and won the Rose Bowl,
right,
we would have talked about it. This is the second time I brought it up since the day it happened, and no one called when I put it on the table the first time around. So if Cal ever caught fire, we would have something there. Stanford, unfortunately, can go to multiple BCS games and then the Rose Bowl and be a playoff team looking like it flirt with and no one even with Christian McCaffrey, the most exciting thing on the field. No one cares.
We're so spoiled here with all the professional teams, all the options. There's just, plus it's the Bay Area, so much going on.
And for Stanford, you got the greatest university in the world across the Bay.
There you go. See the bias? There it is.
Just a little.
Look, there's I'm telling you, man, my girlfriend went to Cal. She doesn't want, if she caught a disease and they invented the cure at Stanford, she'd wait till they came up with it at Cal before she went to go get the antidote. I'm positive of it. There is a real rivalry, but the rivalry only goes in one direction. Cal fans can't stand Stanford. Stanford is just like,
they don't care.
They just don't care. They don't care about being your rival. They don't care about having a rival. They don't care about homecoming games. They don't care about Rose Bowls. They don't care about Heisman candidates.
Yeah.
So have fun with that. When we come on back, not only will we pick one or two more tweets to read, but we've also got one of those mashups where we have the President of the United States singing Don't Forget About Dre. And if that's not worth our time and attention, I really don't know what will. This is, no matter which way you vote, this is bipartisan awesome. And we'll have that for you as we tip our cap here on this Friday evening on 95.7 The Game.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Well, we're almost at the end. It's almost time to say goodbye after a hell of a week of headline news here. It's been a fun week, Gianna.
The week went by so fast because of it as well. I can't believe it's Friday.
Here's the deal. The week of Christmas and the week of New Year's, we only did shows on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right.
This week with five shows went by faster than those week with 2 days of vacation built in.
It did.
It really, really did. Time flies when you're having fun, and you can continue to spend your time right here and have more fun. Coming up next, Zachariah and Townie on a Friday night.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. 7 to 11, Townie and I, Mark Champion, Pistons play-by-play.
Yes.
So join us at 7:30, Roxy Bernstein at 8:30, and then we'll make a little money with the gambler, Marco D'Angelo, at 9:30. That's the guest lineup. What was I going to ask you about? Well, Chip Kelly, I kind of see this being really, really bad. I haven't been on the airwaves since it officially happened.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to getting on tonight. I agree with you that it's at least interesting.
Yeah. I mean, look.
But good Lord, if he runs that offense that fast with in the defense, does he have the pieces? He needs Oregon-like pieces. Does he have that with the Niners right now?
We don't know if he's got that right now. Will he be closer to those type of pieces after all this cap room is spent after a draft?
Yeah.
The team that he's going to be coaching week one next year is a whole lot different than the team that we're talking about right now. This
no
team's going to have at least 50% roster turnover between last year and given the way they played last year. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
that's
no doubt. And then final thing, the waffle maker.
Yes.
What makes it is the end.
The end.
Because there's like, there's fart-esque sounds going through it. And then at the end, when it's like a real fart, I mean, that's the cherry on the top of the sundae.
It's incredible. And in case anyone missed it, would you please, Danny, give us the waffle iron tribute?
One more time. I mean, again, it's good early, but it really pays it off in the end.
It does. It lands well. It's like Mary Lou Retton. It sticks the landing.
Like the first time I heard it, I'm like, what is Damon doing? And then the end came, and I said, now I know exactly what
he's doing. Now you understand it.
And the laugh on top of that,
it sounds like a leaky balloon at first.
Yes.
And then it delivers. Here it is.
So like, this is like, good. And then... Yes. Yes. That's good. By the way, what was the other thing that you were saying about nuts? I wanted to say it, but I forgot what it was already.
Oh, what were you talking about? It was
squirrel nuts.
Duck nuts.
Duck nuts. That sounds so close to a bad word.
Duck nuts.
We have a drop on that?
Chewbacca? Sure. I'm sure.
Your Chewbacca
that
was so cute. Mine was terrible.
That was weird. It sounded like you're gargling.
It was terrible.
Gargling. Real fast, because you're a fan of what the kids like. Here is the Barack Obama Dre Day mashup. Have you heard this?
Y'all know me. Still the same OG, but I've been low key. Hated on by most of these players with no cheese, no deals, and no cheese, no wheels, and no keys, no boat, no snowmobiles, and no skis. Mad at me, because I can finally afford to provide my family with groceries.
That's good.
Nowadays, everybody want to talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes up when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about Dre.
That's good. That is good. That's like the, who's the news reporter?
Yes. Well, we're running out of time, so real fast. Damon, will you ever get Colin Cowherd on the show so you can school him about the Warriors? Here's the deal. When he is here during Super Bowl week, I'm going to get him on the show. He damn well owes it to me after stealing a goulet from the station.
And we'll get a little goulet time.
And we'll get some goulet time, absolutely. So, yes, we will do that. And we now need to... We now need to go to you and your "you got to be kidding me" story from New York. I did not hear about this until I saw you preparing a podcast segment with this topic. By the way, the Franco and Cags podcast is up live and her new album has dropped on iTunes. You can download it right now.
You can right now. Michelle Griego from Channel 5, KPIX, is on with us talking Super Bowl 50 plus. Lorenzo Neal joins us. Yeah, this blew my mind. So in New York City, there is apparently a pop-up booth that allows men to privately take a little time to, can I say the word? I don't even say the word on the radio. Can I say take care of themselves?
Yeah, I was going to say, you can say, why don't you go to the jerk store?
There you go. It is literally, the picture, Damon, is literally like a booth with a curtain next to a bus stop. I'm not kidding. This was Hot Octopus is the name of the company.
Hot Octopus?
It's called a Guy Fi. And it's literally a space because there was a survey out, as you said. Survey says these things happen in the workplace occasionally. So they thought to come up with an idea to give men an area legally, but private. But it's on the street.
So it is a completely legal.
It's a booth. It's like one of those photo booth looking things. I can't get over it.
Let me just say right now, sometimes men do need to step back and think, is this the right time to masturbate? And if you're at work
or never the right time
or on the street, the answer's no. The answer's gotta be no. How about this? If you're at work and you're doing that, you better be hosting your own webcam, and that's your definition of work, to do something like that.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's called Guy Fi. Whatever that means.
Let me tell you, that's the
anyway.
That's the ultimate safe space right there.
It blew my mind.
How's your internet safe space? Well, it's behind this curtain on 42nd Avenue. Well, you still walk around like all these, like, there were all these like Yurkoff parlors, like all throughout the loin and all this.
But they're in, like, it's a room, it's a door, it's a business.
Yeah, but like people have DVRs, don't they? Like, oh my God, I don't know.
It's a curtain. It's a curtain separating me.
I'm gonna need a door
and the man.
Need a little hinges.
The boy. Walk.
No.
Matt Mayo, go Ethan Sherwood Strauss. Thanks to Jarrett Bell, Gianna. Thank you so much, Bouton Vixen. Thanks again for the free T-shirts.
Causewear.
The Bouton Vixen. The Bouton Vixen special can be yours. Thank you, Danny. Thank you, Sonoma Tucky. Thank you
much. He runs like a Welshman, doesn't he? Doesn't he run like a Welshman?
He sure does. Enjoy the football this weekend. We're back Monday when we will have Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech in its entirety. I'm sorry I went long, Elena. Sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Duck nuts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.